This is Judith Lay saying Moramai as the island's Christian community is once again at your service. Manx Radio. Good morning and welcome to the programme that I hope will lift us up while we're locked down and not able to be together in our churches, chapels and community groups. This week I've a mix of old and new that I hope you'll enjoy. At the start of every new year, Methodists celebrate a covenant service. Established by the father of Methodism, John Wesley, it's a very traditional and important part of the Methodist church calendar. Some churches had their covenant service on the first Sunday of January, and many more were planned for last Sunday and some for today, and so have been affected by the present church closures. But I remembered recording a covenant service in the Promenade Methodist Church here in Douglas, so I set about searching my programme archives. Whilst it has its origins in the Methodist Church, I think the covenant service has a very positive message for us all, surely what we need in these uncertain times. I especially remember that it was a very happy and lively family service at the prom, but what I hadn't remembered was that it was 14 years ago. Recorded on a Sunday early in January 2007, the service is led by the Reverend David Shurtliffe, who was minister at the prom church at the time. Bible readings are by Margaret Sanders and Frank Cowan, and prayers are led by Holly Johnston and Sue Montgomery. Jennifer Bird is the organist. Listen out for the arrival of Percy the Puffin, and surely the most cheering sound at any time, the laughter of children.
Good morning. We join together today to share in this, our annual covenant service from the earliest days of the Methodist societies. John Wesley invited the Methodist people to renew their covenant relationship with God. We stand in that tradition. And today, early in this new year, we have the opportunity to recommit ourselves to God's service as followers of Christ. Let us join together and worship God. We sing, "Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord." God of grace, through the mediation of your Son, you call us into a new covenant. Help us therefore to draw near with faith and join ourselves in a perpetual covenant with you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now, Percy the Puffin is with us this morning. Now, Percy, you seem to be very smelly. Percy, what have you been up to today? We have a puffin-sized bottle of aftershave. And if I'm not mistaken, you've combed, haven't you? I'm very unused to you not smelling of fish, and you're normally a tangled mess. What is this about? Eh? Why the aftershave? Why the combing? You heard you were going to be on the radio. Percy, I hate to disappoint you, but the people listening to this service on the radio can't see you and they can't smell you. Aww. There's something very important that today is about, and that is that the outside is nice and it's good to smell nice and it's good to be well groomed and combed and all that, but what is really more important, as far as God is concerned, is what's on the inside and the people we are. And that's what today is about, us as God's people saying, Lord, whoever we are, whatever we're like, on the inside, in our hearts and our minds, we want to follow Jesus the best that we can. We're going to hear a reading which comes from the book of Jeremiah. And it speaks to us of the importance of what is on the inside and God making a new covenant with his people.
The reading is Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34. The Lord says, "The time is coming when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the old covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt. Although I was like a husband to them, they did not keep that covenant. The new covenant that I will make with the people of Israel will be this. I will put my law within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. None of them will have to teach his fellow countrymen to know the Lord, because all will know me, from the least to the greatest. I will forgive their sins, and I will no longer remember their wrongs. I, the Lord, have spoken. Thanks be to God."
God made a covenant with the people of Israel, calling them to be a holy nation, chosen to bear witness to his steadfast love by finding delight in the law. The covenant was renewed in Jesus Christ our Lord, in his life, work, death, and resurrection. In him, all people may be set free from the power of sin and unite in love and obedience.
In this covenant, God promises us new life in Christ. For our part, we promise to live no longer for ourselves, but for God. We meet, therefore, as generations have met before us, to renew the covenant which bound them and binds us to God.
Let us pray. God of mercy, hear us as we confess our sins. For the sin that has made us slow to learn from Christ, reluctant to follow him, and afraid to bear the cross. Lord, have mercy.
For the sin that has caused the poverty of our worship, the selfishness of our prayers, and our hesitating witness for Christ. Lord, have mercy.
For the sin that has led us to misuse your gifts, evade our responsibilities, and fail to be good stewards of your creation. Lord, have mercy.
For the sin that has made us unwilling to overcome evil with good, quick to condemn, and selfish in sharing your love with others. Lord, have mercy.
If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, to all who truly repent, this is his gracious word. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
Our readings are from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and Mark chapter 14, verses 22 to 25. So then, my brothers, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship that you should offer. Do not conform yourselves to the standards of the world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Then you will be able to know the will of God, what is good and is pleasing to him, and is perfect. While they were eating, Jesus took a piece of bread and gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples. Take it, he said. This is my body. Then he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and handed it to them, and they all drank from it. Jesus said, This is my blood which is poured out for many, my blood which seals God's covenant. I tell you, I will never again drink this wine until the day I drink the new wine in the kingdom of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Sisters and brothers in Christ, let us again accept our place within this covenant which God has made with us, and with all who are called to be Christ's disciples. This means that, by the help of the Holy Spirit, we accept God's purpose for us and the call to love and serve God in all our life and work. Christ has many services to be done. Some are easy, others are difficult. Yet the power to do all these things is given to us in Christ, who strengthens us. Let us give ourselves to him, trusting in his promises and relying on his grace. Glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. May it be so forever. Let this covenant now made on earth be fulfilled in heaven. Amen. New year! New you! We have our aims for the year, and it doesn't all work out as we would like it to. We have the best of intentions, but we know it doesn't always work out. How good, then, that we can meet together in this covenant service. For there's a very simple and yet profound theme running through this service. It's this: God is a faithful God. That's the message we heard behind the readings this morning. The background to our reading from Jeremiah was that God had made a covenant with his people, Israel. And you could read in the book of Deuteronomy there how Moses gathered the whole people of Israel before him. And together they made a covenant, a solemn agreement to follow only God's ways. And they dedicated themselves to him. They had the best of intentions. But those intentions didn't always work out. Time and time again, God's people chose to go their own ways, to do their own things, turning from the Lord. Jeremiah was very conscious of this. He looked back at his people's history. He looked around at his own society and saw the corruption and saw the worship of other gods. And Jeremiah, through God's inspiration, saw the need for something new. And over Christmas, we have celebrated the marvelous way in which our faithful God fulfilled that promise to do something new. We've celebrated how God never gave up on his people, and when the time was right, slipped in amongst them, amongst us, the human race, born as a baby in Bethlehem, that baby growing to the man we know of as Jesus of Nazareth. And there in the gospel that Frank read to us, we heard from Jesus, gathering his disciples on the night before he died and sharing bread and wine with them. "This is my blood of the new covenant," were his words. Today we can rightly celebrate God's faithfulness. For through Jesus, he planned something new and put it into action. Through Jesus, he offers to the human race the chance for a new start, forgiveness for the past, hope for the future, life in all its fullness now, and to dedicate their lives to him. In our covenant service today, God invites us once again to respond to him afresh. And this invitation is so important. It's so easy to feel guilty about the Christian life we are not living as we feel we should. But this service is not about guilt. It's God's invitation to lay the past to one side before him, to acknowledge what has not been right, but then to look to the future with hope and joy, and to let God be God, to seek to live for him to the best that we can by his strength. And that is enough. That is the invitation of our faithful God. May the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon us and remain with us forever. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.
Blessing from Reverend David Shurtliff ends our highlights from the annual covenant service at the Promenade Methodist Church here in Douglas. And my thanks to him and to everyone at the Promenade for all the help that they gave me last Sunday morning as I made that recording. Well, of course, that covenant service wasn't actually recorded last Sunday. It was on a Sunday early in January 2007. But I hope you agree that the positive message is, 14 years later, so very appropriate for our present time. And so to today. It's been said that during these times of lockdown, the word prayer is being entered into internet search engines by 1 in 4 people worldwide. That's a lot of people looking for something extra in their life. Peter Shimin is a lay reader well known for his ministry in the Anglican churches, particularly in the north of the island. He lives in Andreas with his wife Sylvia and his beloved dog Jacko. Peter joins us now to share some of his own very personal thoughts and experiences on the power and the reassurance that comes from prayer.
Jacko is 70. In February he turned 10, and so in dog years joined Sylvia and me as we're both over 70. He still has a touch of exuberance and runs fast, but for very short distances. And furthermore, I'm sorry to say, Jacko has a touch of arthritis. Sometimes people write off the elderly, but not God. Some of the heroes in the Bible were elderly when God called them. Abraham and Sarah were blessed with a son in their old age. And when Jesus was presented in the temple, Anna witnessed to people about Jesus. She was 84. When I lived in Castletown, Betty was in her 80s, couldn't walk more than a few yards. She had been a Sunday school teacher, but now was too infirm to do so. But she used to say, "All I can do is pray." And if we were doing any outreach, she prayed for us. And what a difference it made to know we were being prayed for. Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." During lockdown, we may feel a bit helpless, but like Betty, we can pray. We have a multi-fuel burner, and these winter nights we usually have it on. During the day, I clean out the old ash, carefully put in firelighters, paper, sticks, wood and coal. But sometimes I wonder, who am I doing it for? Jacko, our dog, lies in front of it, taking a lot of the heat. What's more, if I don't light it, he sits near it and stares at Sylvia and me with his big brown eyes. Then he comes, thrusting his head in her hand for a stroke and attention, before going back to the hearth rug to stare at us. If I leave the room, he follows me. Talk about persistence. Jesus told a story about a woman who was persistent. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly, saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her constant requests." Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly." Jesus told this story to show that we should always pray and never give up. Before Christmas, Sylvia was not very well. She had started a course of antibiotics, but found she was allergic to the tablets and hadn't eaten at all or drank much for 3 days. She stopped taking the tablets. I took a sample to the doctors to see if the infection had gone. The nurse rang. Her sample showed it was still there. Not long later, a friend Sue Ellen came round with her son Alex. Sue Ellen decided to pray for Sylvia and laid a hand on her. She called Alex over, who had been stroking Jacko. Alex came, closed his eyes, and put his hand on Sue Ellen. Then Jacko came, pushed himself between Sue Ellen and Alex, and put his paw in, and even had his eyes closed. Sue Ellen laughed. "He looks as if he's praying," she said. About 2 hours later, the lab result came through, and Sylvia's infection had gone. Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." I believe our Heavenly Father answered Suelle and Sylvia and Alex's prayer. Not sure if I can include Jacko, though. When someone comes to visit us, Jacko thinks they've come to visit him. They get a very boisterous welcome, especially if he knows them. He howls like a wolf and always insists on being stroked. But after his initial welcome, he is inclined, especially if the house is noisy, to hide away under the table in the study. Jesus taught us to hide away when we pray. He said, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." During lockdown, we don't get any visitors, but our Heavenly Father is always waiting for us to go somewhere on our own to pray. I was wondering what to pray for. Jesus gives us plenty of ideas in the Lord's Prayer. Here are some. That our loved ones will come to trust in the Lord and not fear during this pandemic. That people, including ourselves, will be responsible and to help to others as opportunity arise. That our economy and that of the UK will recover after COVID is all over and jobs will be plentiful. That we will be forgiven as we forgive others.
Thank you to Anglican lay reader Peter Shimmin sharing his thoughts on prayer with music from the Taizé monastic community. Although we're listening again to some church services that I've recorded over the years, there's always a place to include your favourite hymns, so do please let me know if there's something you'd specially like to hear in future programmes. You can email judithlay@manxradio.com and lay is spelled L-E-Y. Or you can write to me here at Manx Radio, P.O. Box 1368, Douglas IM 991SW. No church services and no gatherings mean no notice board, but we know that the sacrifices we're making now will bring us ever closer to our island being as safe as possible for everyone. And something I find very encouraging, during this lockdown, people are talking about events simply being postponed, not cancelled. We will get through this and we will be together again. All being well, I'll be back tonight at 9 with Sundown. But for now, this is Judith, praying that you and those you care about will have a peace-filled week, knowing that you are deeply loved. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye for now.